Amen. Glorious day. It's beautiful to think about. Thank you, praise team. That was wonderful. Just a very God-led time in music. I just loved it. Loved it. Beautiful. All right. I hope you're glad to be here in God's house today. If you are visiting with us, we are certainly glad to have you here in God's house. And I'm asking that the Spirit of God will speak individually to each person in this room. And I believe in that. I pray for that. And I ask the Lord to do so today as we get into this message. And so I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 1 to 17. And it's a lengthy portion of Scripture, but it's well worth it today. This message came out of my study from the book of Exodus, and I wanted to share it with you today. This is kind of where my passion and my heart is today as I come to God's Word today. Acts chapter 12. Stand with me now. We're going to read verses 1 to 17. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to harm them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in the prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. Now on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your garment around yourself and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but he was thinking he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now truly I know that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate. But she ran in and reported that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were astounded. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he recounted to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison, and he said, "Report these things to James and the brothers." Then he left and went to another place. You may be seated. I've entitled this message today, "You Stay Up, I'm Going to Bed." You stay up, I'm going to bed. I've got something that the Lord's given me from this passage of Scripture that I want to share with you today. It's a wonderful, wonderful thought and theme. If you can capture it, I really believe it could have incredible results in your life, in your spiritual walk with the Lord and with others. Peter has been put into prison. The church is fervently praying for Peter. So they gathered into one of the houses, and the word fervently there means hot. They prayed hot prayers for Peter to get out of that prison. And so they were seeking God for Peter at this time. Now, Peter had been thrown in prison, nothing he did of himself, but it was all politics. Herod wanted to get on the good side of the Jews. The Jews hated the Christians. So Herod was not full-blooded, and he wanted all the Jews to like him in this region. This is not the Herod of Jesus' day, by the way. This is Herod Agrippa I, his son. And so he's trying to win the favor of the Jews, and the Jews... No, he's not full-blooded. He's half Jew, half Gentile. And so they are not real taken to him, but he figures maybe if I kill one of the Christians, so he kills James, he has him beheaded by the sword. That's how they would do it. They would take your head off. And the people, the Jews like that. That's nice. So Herod's thinking to himself, well, I'll just go get Peter, do the same thing on the Passover day, which is a high holy day, and I'll have his head cut off. So he takes Peter and he throws him into prison. Not anything Peter did. Peter, it wasn't because of his theology, it wasn't because of his teaching. He was just realizing he was in the crossfires of a man's ego. If I can get on the good side of the Jews, then I can get a whole lot more done as the king of Judea. And so his whole motivation is political at best. Peter did nothing to get into this situation. Just dirty politics. Have you ever done something in your life where you did nothing to get in that situation? Has that ever happened to you? This is very important you understand this. Because sometimes you get in a situation and say, I shouldn't even be in this situation. This shouldn't even be happening to me. But it is. And so everything inside of you is fighting something inside of you to say, I shouldn't be here. And that's Peter's story. Now, what I want to start with is bad things do happen to good people. Bad things do happen to good people, and you don't always get the blue skies and the smooth sailing. And so today I want to give you, this is what my heart is on, I want to give you some best practices to bank your life on. Best practices to bank your life on. Now, in the last service, I only got through five, so I'll only do five today. You can preach number six to yourself. All right, so here we go. Number one. The best sign that God's power is on your life is based upon the level of attack you are up under. Herod knew who he was dealing with. He was dealing with Peter. And he didn't want to take any chances. And he got four quarter guards. In other words, each of them were four sets. So it's four guards in each set. And he caused 16 soldiers to guard Peter. 16 soldiers. That's how important Peter was. Because Peter knew about his master who escaped death and was told to be resurrected. And so he wasn't taking no chances with Peter. And so he locks him up under 16 soldiers. Then he takes two of the soldiers and locks them to each of his hands. No way he can get out of that situation. And so Peter is being put in a situation where the reinforcements are quadrupled. In Spanish, they call this respecto. Respecto. The level of attack that you are under determines the level of respect you receive. The higher the level of attack is in your life, the higher respect you have. In other words, the problems are a sign that you got power. Now just try to lock that away, because that doesn't always compute with you when you think about this. But the more problems you have, it's a sign that you got power. Nobody sends that kind of attack if you don't got power. All right? You don't need 16 soldiers to guard a three-year-old. Okay? But they use 16 soldiers to guard one man. You know you got power. And the truth of the matter is, God will order trouble in your life. You didn't do anything to get in that trouble. You didn't do anything to cause it. You weren't a problem, but God put you into trouble. You say, why? Because God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. So if you want God to be near you, then you've got to be in trouble. That's what that verse means. He's an ever-present help. He'll get you into trouble so he can come into your life and show himself strong. But you're not going to know how strong God is until you get in trouble. So he puts you in trouble so you can see he's an ever-present help. It's a beautiful thing to learn about God. God always gets the last word in these situations. And God intended for Peter to be arrested. And he wanted the people to pray for his release. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, that's number one. Let me go on. Number two, faith at its best is a faith at rest. Now, Herod Agrippa is intending, that was his name, Herod Agrippa I was intending to behead Peter. He beheaded James at the next morning, on the Passover morning, he was going to behead Peter. And the Bible says in verse 6, the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. Now, the key word there, if you don't mind underlining your Bible, is sleeping. He is sleeping, which struck me. This is the greatest expression of faith I've ever heard or seen. To be sleeping the night before you're going to be beheaded. It's an incredible thing. I like what Blackaby says about this passage of Scripture. Silent faith screams the loudest. A faith that will not fall under attack is a faith at its best. That's what I want you to lock into your heart. Peter is sleeping. He has found a peace in the midst of a storm. He's found it. And he can sleep between two soldiers, handcuffed to them, and he's going to be beheaded. Peter, how did you learn to sleep like that in prison on the night before you would be beheaded? Beheaded. Listen, you can see beheadings on the YouTube. It's quite an ominous and horrific thing to watch. I think I did it one time, and I haven't done it since in years because I just don't want to see it. One reason is I like my head. Okay, I like my head, okay? You may not like it, but I'm telling you what, it's just fine for me, and I don't want to lose it. And if I knew I was going to be beheaded in the morning, that might affect my nap this afternoon. That might affect it, okay? That's what I'm saying to you, all right? So to understand this, Peter is there in that situation. He's asleep. Just let that sink in. He's asleep the night before he's going to be beheaded. How did you learn to sleep chained to two guards in the inner prison? Even if you get out of those chains, get away from those two guys, you still got 14 more soldiers to go. How did you learn to do that, Peter? Where did you learn to sleep like this? Then I remembered that Jesus fell asleep on Peter's boat. And Peter learned from his master how to sleep in the middle of a storm. Do you know how to sleep in the middle of a storm? Do you know how to be at rest? When everything in your life is coming apart and all is going wrong, if you'll keep your peace, if you'll sleep through your storm, God will bless you. God will bless you. I want you to hear that, okay? To learn how to sleep in your storm. Sometimes the best response in your life is snoring. Just snoring, just being asleep. Sleep says this, I don't know what God's going to do, but I know this, God's going to do something. Sleep says, I don't know how he's going to move, but I know God's going to move. I believe it. Sleep says, I don't know what the answer to this problem is. I just know God's got an answer. That's sleep. That's what sleep says in a storm. Sleep says, the battles are not mine. They are the Lord's. Sleep says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what sleep says. It's a beautiful thing to try to get a hold of in your life. Whatever you're going through, can you sleep through it? Can you sleep through it? Don't fuss. Don't argue. Don't cuss. Please don't cuss. Don't worry. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Why? Because he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform what he's going to perform in your life, even if you didn't get yourself into that situation. Sleep through it. Don't get revenge. Don't get revenge. Don't spend your night thinking about how to get back at someone. You're wasting your sleep. Don't retaliate. Just go to God. Just go to God. He has determined your end from your beginning. He will work his plan in your life. Just get your peace back. You understand that? Get your peace back. Get your trust back. Get your confidence back in God, in God. This is what you got to learn how to do. Say to the Lord, I'm learning how to put things in your hands so I can go to sleep. Lord, I want to learn how to put things in your hands so I can go to sleep. I'm going to learn how to go to bed and put it in your hands. What is it that you have to put into God's hands to get a good night's rest? What is it that you carry? What is it that you worry about? What is it that's on your heart tonight or this morning that you have to learn how to leave it in God's hands? Have you ever had to put something in God's hands? God, tonight, I'm going to have to put my child in your hands. God, tonight, I'm going to have to put my marriage in your hands. God, tonight, I'm going to have to put my health in your hands. God, tonight, I'm going to have to put my finances in your hands. I'm going to put it in your hands. God, teach me. Teach me how to do that. That doesn't come easy, but that is exactly what God wants you to do. Just like Job said, he knows the ways that I take, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. It's a beautiful thing to learn to put things into his hands. Sleep. Sleep. Okay, number three, let me go on. Number three, which I find a simple thing to learn from this text, God does his best work while you sleep. That's an incredible point. God does his best work while you sleep. Look it, he was asleep in verse 6 between two soldiers. He's chained up. Guards in the front door were watching over the prison. Now watch this, verse 7. While he's asleep, that's what you want to remember. Behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter's side, woke him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." The chains fell off his hand. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself, put on your sandals." He did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your garment around yourself and follow me." I love this passage of Scripture. While Peter was sleeping, the angel came. Now, here's the word. If you don't mind underlining in your Bible, the key word is suddenly. Suddenly. Just underline that word. The angel came while he was asleep, and suddenly the angel started acting. Now, what's the point? God does his best stuff while you're asleep. When you can rest in the Lord, God does his best stuff. Okay, that's what I want to lock into your heart today, okay? Let me just illustrate that from a few places. Think of some of the best stuff God's done. When God wanted to bring a woman into this world, he put Adam to sleep. And when he put Adam to sleep, he created his best stuff. How many women would agree with that? You're the best stuff. See, that was the last thing he created. It's an incredible thing to think about. I don't want to go too deep into that. You get a big head over that, ladies. But the truth is, God went into Adam. He pulled out a rib. That's why he put him to sleep, because that's got to hurt. He pulls out a rib, and he makes it into a woman. He can pull stuff out of you and make his best stuff. It's incredible to think about that. Just keep it on your mind, okay? When Abraham, God made a covenant with him, and he said, "I'm going to make you a great nation, Abraham." Abraham said, "I've got no kids." God says, "Go to sleep, Abraham. Don't you worry about it. I am going to do a work in your life." And he put Abraham to sleep, and then he walked through his sacrifice. And he said, "I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you." I believe that's still true today. And God has literally said, "I'm going to do my best stuff while you're asleep, Abraham." When God gets ready to give you what you need to be asleep. I mean, I can't say that any different. He can still pull out of you what he placed inside of you and cause you to endure. He can pull it right out of you. When Jesus hung his head, and his head fell and locked between his two shoulders, and he died. He didn't really die as we count deadness. He was asleep. I don't know if you ever thought about that. He was asleep. His soul did not see corruption, Psalm 2:2. He never died in his soul. It didn't see corruption. And so while he's asleep, the Father works the night shift and brings him back to life. See, everything that God's ever done his best stuff with, it's been when a person's asleep. One reason is you won't get all the glory from that. The other reason is God says, just rest. Just rest in me for that moment. It's a beautiful thing. God's pulling stuff out of you in your sleep. He's working it out. He's repositioning things. He's moving things around. He's turning it around. He's providing in ways that you don't even know. You don't have to do anything. It's incredible. You don't have to just pray and go to sleep. Oh, but Pastor Rob, you don't know how hard that is for me. You really want me to just go to sleep with everything on my mind? My wheels are spinning. God says, just go to sleep. Go to sleep. Oh, that's easier said than done. You better believe it is. But you don't have to say anything. You don't have to plan anything. You don't have to gossip. You don't have to scheme. You don't have to plot. Just say to somebody, you stay up. I'm going to bed. I'm going to bed. You count sheep, I'm going to bed. I'm covered. This thing is covered. I'm loved, I'm protected. I got the blood of Jesus over my life. You stay up, I'm going to bed. Have you ever had that kind of spirit in you for the Spirit of God to release power into your life? I'm going to bed. Just rest in the Lord. The Bible says, some translations put it like this, Peter slept like a baby. He slept like a baby. It's unbelievable. He found that in the Lord. And suddenly, underline that word if you haven't underlined it already, the angel appears in the jail. Now, as I was reading this text, one thing that did occur to me is Peter really wasn't much of a hero. Look at verse 9. It says, and he went out and continued to follow, that is the angel. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. But he was thinking he was seeing a vision or having a dream. He thinks he's in a dream, okay? This is an act of faith for Peter. This is a dream to him. So he thinks this whole thing's just happening in his head. He had faith, but he didn't believe it was real. That's incredible to think about, okay? And not only did he not think it, he wasn't a hero much in this story, but neither was the church. The whole church is sending up hot prayers for Peter. And when Peter finally appears at the gate and Rhoda is like, wow, he's here. She runs back in and he tells them, Peter's been set free. And they all look at her and say, you're out of your mind. They didn't even believe it either. Isn't it amazing? You can pray for stuff and you can put it before God and you say, God, work, work, work. And deep down, you don't really believe he's going to do a thing. Let me tell you something. Just keep praying anyways. You pray even if you don't think he's going to do a thing, because that's what happened here. You just keep going. You may not believe it to the level of a great faith, but you got something in you that prayed today, prayed this morning, put it before God, and you've been consistently doing it. And you don't really think he's going to do anything, but you just keep doing it. So it occurred to me, there's no hero of faith in this text. Peter didn't believe. The intercessors didn't believe. But yet there was a suddenly. That word just captured me this week. There was a suddenly. No faith and still a suddenly. And it dawned on me. Wait a minute. Maybe if Peter didn't do anything to get himself in this situation, maybe Peter doesn't have to do anything to get himself out of this situation. Now, somebody needed to hear that today. Because you feel like you're in a situation you didn't put yourself in. and you're wondering what in the world's going on. Let me just tell you it again, okay? Maybe if Peter didn't have to do anything to get himself into this situation, maybe Peter doesn't have to do anything to get himself out of the situation. Let that sink into your heart. Maybe if God sees fit to get you in trouble, maybe God will be the one to get you out of trouble. I'm just saying maybe. I really don't mean maybe. I think he will. If you didn't do anything to get yourself in this situation, God can certainly do something to get you out of the situation without you doing a thing. You just go to sleep. Go to sleep. Stop spending your night. What should I do? Who should I call? How am I going to solve this? Maybe you shouldn't do anything to get yourself out because you didn't do anything to get yourself in it. That's a simple thought, but that's something to capture and walk away with in your heart. Maybe the best response is sleeping. Sleeping and then letting God do his best work. Number four, let's go on. Number four, the best method of learning is Jesus' method. Now, I went back and I was thinking about this text here where he is sleeping. But what I want you to understand is sleep is Jesus' method. Sleep is Jesus' method. Jesus sleeps through hurricanes. I think that might be hard for most of us to do, to sleep through a hurricane. But Jesus sleeps through hurricanes. When the storm came on the Sea of Galilee and the rowers, the disciples, are trying to do everything they can to survive. They're the wise ones. They're the fishermen. Their stuff is flying everywhere. Jesus' feet is probably wet down there in the middle of the boat. And Jesus is asleep in that boat. There's a method here, and I want you to get it. I'm going to give it to you in a principle, and I don't want you to ever forget this. Okay, here's the principle. The principle is this. It matters who mentors you. It matters who mentors you. If your mom was nervous, you tend to get nervous. If your dad was hysterical, you tend to get hysterical. If your mom was at peace, you tend to be at peace. They taught you how to respond to life, how to respond to stress. And as a kid, you watched how they did it. That takes some thought on your part to think that through in your life. Why are you like you are? Why do people say you're like your mom? You're like your dad? Because you watched how they did it, and you said that's the way to get through it, the way they did it. As a kid, you watched how they did it. You learned how to react to trouble by what they did. If mama cuts you off in trouble, you cut people off in trouble. It all depends on who your mentor was. If it wasn't a parent, it was a teacher. If it wasn't a teacher, it was a coach. If it wasn't a coach, it was a grandmother. If it wasn't a grandmother, it was a grandpa. If it wasn't a grandpa, it was a boss. But the one who had the deepest impression in your life is how you learned how to handle life. That's how you learned. That's how you react. You watched the person that made the deepest impression on you and said, I'm going to be like that. I'm going to be like that. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus taught Peter how to sleep. And he can teach you if you want to be taught. He can mentor you how to sleep. Just ask him. Listen, just say, Lord, teach me how to sleep. Teach me how to sleep. Not during the sermon, no. Now, tonight, okay? Teach me how to sleep. It's beautiful. It's so simple, but it's so beautiful. Lord, teach me how to get my wheels to stop spinning. I mean, they are just spinning all the time. I'm never at rest. Even at night, I just feel my wheels spinning. Teach me how to figure my way out, Lord. If you just ask him that, he will teach you. He will teach you how to sleep. Now, I brought these along just to show you this. These are real. Real handcuffs. Don't try this at home. If I take these handcuffs, and I put myself in them, this is what Peter was like. He was handcuffed. Now I want these handcuffs to symbolize your limitations. Something you are limited by in your life right now. I don't know what that may be. It may be that a child's upset with you. It may be your finances. It may be that you're dealing with loneliness right now because you lost someone in your life. And you're going through some things, but you are handcuffed. And you're trying to figure out how to get through this. And one of the hardest things to do is that when you go to sleep, you got these handcuffs on and they don't leave you. So you're trying to figure out how to sleep. And you got these handcuffs around you and you're like, oh, I can't get comfortable. I just can't do it. I can't do it. Doesn't matter what I do. If I try to put my, oh, this is terrible. I can't get to sleep. Let me just see. I can't even preach with these handcuffs on. I want to throw my hands this way and that. I can't. But these handcuffs have me bound down. And so I can't sleep because I'm trying to get comfortable. I'm trying to get this stuff off my mind. But how do I get these handcuffs off my life? And one of the things we often do is we often go to things like our intellect. As if we're smart enough, we can figure this out. Hey, I've been around the block. I'm pretty smart about this thing now. I've learned some things about life. And so what we do with our intellect is we try to use that, and if we're just smart enough, we can be delivered. You don't even need God. You just deliver yourself with your intellect. And you know what you did? You just made your intellect your idol. You just put it up there because you're so smart. You've been around the block so long. You know the wise thing to do every time. But you didn't need God because you figured it out. But that becomes your God then. It's how smart you are. And the truth of the matter is, you're losing a lot of time doing that because you're not sleeping. You're sitting there like Peter, chained between these two guards, and you're thinking to himself, how do I get that key? That's a step of wisdom. If I could just get that key, I know I could take the key and I could put it in the locks and then I can unlock it. But then I got to knock out the soldier. So how am I going to do that? I'm going to get the key. Then I'm going to come back. I'm going to knock out the soldier. And then when I knock out the soldier, then I'm going to make my way up the hallway. Now, I don't know how I'm going to get out of that iron gate yet, but I'll worry about that when I get there because I'm smart enough to get that far. And so in my own intellect, I try to figure out how I'm going to get through this when in reality, God's saying, let me teach you how to sleep. Let me teach you how to sleep. That's what you should be saying, Lord. Teach me how to sleep. How to rest in the middle of this. Why, God? Why do I want you to teach me how to sleep? So you can work suddenly. Because I keep trying to do this on my own. And the truth of the matter is, that's what God wants to do. He wants to be your suddenly. But you get too smart for yourself sometimes and you never use them. That's why prayer doesn't mean much to you. That's why it's hard to do it. Because he says, I want to do something in your life. Now, if you don't have anything to apologize for, okay, I'm just throwing this in. If you don't have anything to ask forgiveness for from someone that didn't cause you to get in this situation and you get thrown into some chains in your life, grab a pillow, lay down, and go to sleep. Because he's your Alpha and Omega. He is your beginning and your end. Nothing's going to change in between there. And he will work all things after the counsel of his own will. Why? Because you're the called according to his purpose. And that's what he wants to do in your life. Just let him take the cuffs off. Okay, I'm no Houdini, but every now and then I need a key. Sometimes that's what we like to do, don't we? When I've gone to you, God, and I've gone to you, and I've gone to you. Just give me the key. God's saying, you don't need the key. You just need me. You just need me. All right, let me go on number five. Number five, and I'll close it out. This is probably my favorite. The best path to walk is the path where Jesus walks you through it. So the angel appears. The angel makes no unnecessary disturbance, strikes him on the side, says, get up quickly. His chains fell off. Get dressed. Put on your walking shoes. We got to go. Hurry up. Now, I don't have time to develop this, but I want you to understand. Everything that's going on here, it's the night of the Passover. The next day is the Passover. This all relates back to Exodus chapter 12 and chapter 14. When they had to go through the Red Sea, Moses said to him, come on, let's go. Get quick. Put on your sandals. Let's go. Let's get out of town. It's the same words used here that were used in Exodus 12 and Exodus 14 when they went through the Red Sea. This is how I found this passage, studying Exodus 14. It's all a parallel because what God is saying, I don't have time to develop this too much, but what God is saying is the same power that took them through the Red Sea is the same power that will sustain his church, that will sustain you. That really is the point of the whole passage here, okay? So the chains of bondage fall off. He gets dressed. He puts on his walking shoes. Hurry up. Come on, Peter, hurry up. Now listen, if I was Peter at that point, you wouldn't have to tell me twice. If I'm going to be beheaded the next morning, I'd have my shoes on. I'd have everything ready. I'd have the angel following me. Come on, which way do we go, right or left? Because I'm telling you what, I'd be ready to get out of there. But Peter, I mean, he's just taking his good old time. And the truth of the matter is, he's just kind of slow. He's not rushing it. He's so calm. It's beautiful. That wouldn't be me. That wouldn't be me. Hey, watch out for that guard over there. Hey, you see that guy? I see him blinking like he's going to wake up. But Peter's so calm. And Peter's finally ready to go. And the angel tells him the plan. We're going to go past this guard, then we're going to go past this guard, then the iron gate's going to open on its own, we're going to come out to the street, and you're going to be okay. So Peter is thinking about all this, and he's ready to go. And the angel looks at him and he says, it's going to be okay. I'm going to walk you through this. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to walk you through it. I'll lead you down the hall. You'll go by the first guard post. By the way, those guards weren't asleep. There's nowhere in the text that tells you they're asleep. If they were asleep, they would have lost their life. They're on third shift. They're wide awake. But Peter and the angel are invisible to them. And so Peter goes past the first post with the guard. And with the angel, and the second guard post with the angel. They come to the iron gate. The iron gate opens by itself. They went up the street, and the angel said, see you later. He left. I could not help but think about this text. Somebody here in this room has been praying. I don't know how to get out of this, God. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the decision to make. I just want you to hear the Spirit of God speak to you. What he's saying to you is, it's okay. I'll walk you through this. But this is what's going on with my boy. It's okay. He doesn't give you any answers, does he? He just says, I'm going to walk you through this. We're going to walk through this together. Now, I could fly through it, but I'm not going to fly through it because you can't fly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do what you do. You walk. So because you're walking, I'm going to walk, and I'm going to walk you right through it, and you're going to get through this. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. God can walk you through things, and God can make you appear invisible. Now, how does he do that? So no one knows you and God are walking right through it. People can look at you, and they don't know what's going on in your life, but they're watching you walk right through it. And what's invisible to them is God working in your life and leading you in such a way that you're going to be okay because God's going to walk you through it. God's going to walk you through it. No surveillance, but no one can trap you because God is walking you through it. God will walk you through your problem. You don't have to see your way clear. You don't have to think that's the 12th guard, that's the 13th guard, that's the 14th guard. Just a few more guards to go. One more guard post. What about the iron gate? You don't have to figure anything out. That's what you're trying to do. Right now you're trying to put it all together. You're trying to get your plan, trying to get the recipe, the steps, and you want to get them all in place, and you're going to do everything you can. God says, wait a minute, stop. I'm going to walk you through it. I'm not going to tell you everything. I'm not going to figure it all out for you. You're not going to get the answer right now, but I am going to walk you through it. I'm going to do that in your life. And that's all you have to say to God, okay? This is so simple, but just say to God, God, walk me through it. That's what he wants to do. Walk me through this difficult season of my life right now. Walk me through it. I can say it another way. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's another way to say it, but it's better for you to hear it. God, walk me through it, because I got to know that every day of my life. How many times has God walked you through what you thought you couldn't get through? Didn't he do it before? Thought it would kill you? Dangerous moments, destroy you financially. You lost your mate. You lost your house. You lost your parents. Whatever you've gone through, you went through pain that you didn't think you'd get through. But what he's trying to tell you is, I walked you through it then, I'll walk you through it now. I'll walk you right through it. Okay, number six, I'm not going to preach it, but I just want you to hear the point because some of you like to fill out the blanks. The best part of the text is that the angel didn't leave him until he was saved. And God won't leave you either until you're saved. That'll preach, brother. Let's pray. Just heads bowed, eyes closed in this moment of time. Praise team is going to sing and lead us today. Maybe you've never placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, who went to a cross and paid the price for your sin. The Bible says if you'd repent of that sin, just own it. Just say, I deserve it. And you say, but Jesus, I believe in you. I put my faith and trust in you for the saving of my soul for eternity. I'm not trusting in anything else, not trusting in my good works, not trusting in my upbringing. I'm just putting my faith right in you, as simple as it is. It may not be a strong faith. It doesn't have to be. It just has to be faith. This morning you'd say, I want that. I want to be saved. I want to know walking out of here today that I'm saved. I'm a child of God. If that's your prayer, if you've not made that prayer and you want to make that prayer, would you just lift up your hand right now where I can see it? Just for a moment. Lift it up and hold it up just a second. You'd say, that's my prayer this morning. I see a hand back there. Is there another? Is there one other? Just raise it up so I can see it. I saw that one on my right. I saw one hand. I just want to take a moment for that one hand. If you raised your hand and you have that heart's desire to put your faith and trust in God, say, Dear God, know I'm a sinner. Nothing I can do to save myself. But you sent your Son to die on a cross for my sin. You paid the price. I trust you. I put my faith in you and what you did for me to save my soul. Save me. If you prayed that simple prayer, it came from your heart. It's not just a prayer, it's from the heart. I believe on the authority of God's word, you are saved. That's where you start in a walk with Christ. Now, you who've been walking with Christ as a Christian for some time, I have two altar prayers this morning. But you've got something in your heart right now, something that's heavy on you. And your prayer this morning is, God, walk me through it. Walk me through it. And you want to put that at this altar this morning. I want you to do that. I want you to just step out and come forward and say, God, walk me through it. I'd love to know the answers. I'd love to know more details. But God, you're not giving me the details. So just walk me through it until I'm safe. Until I'm safe. Walk me through it. If that's your prayer, I'm going to invite you to come. For some of you, it's a different twist on the prayer, and that is this. Lord, teach me how to sleep. Teach me how to sleep. I just want to rest in you today. I want to know how to sleep. Be my mentor. There's your prayer. Be my mentor. Teach me how to sleep. Father, this morning, I want to place these that come this morning that would pray those prayers. I pray with your hand and your power would be over them, that you would bless them accordingly for their heart's desire, their simple faith, maybe in as simple as Peter's or those at the church back then. But they've got it. They're coming today to say that. Walk me through it. Teach me to sleep. I ask this now, Father, for your hand over it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise team is going to sing. That's your prayer, your heart's desire. I want you to come this morning. I want you to lay that at the altar and ask God to work in your life in that way. Let's sing.